Welcome to another edition of Lying on the Beach. I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman Hess.
And as we're all still in this viral moment of our lives where we're all sequestered, a lot of issues are coming up about our money and the lack of it. The stock market's gone down significantly. And to help answer a lot of those questions, we have with us today Lonnie Greenberg, who is the senior wealth advisor who focuses on providing strategic financial advice and innovative wealth planning solutions for his clients at Mariner Wealth Advisors. Lonnie was with Singer Xenos a few years ago. He also traded fixed income securities in New York with Cantor Fitzgerald's Debit Capital Markets Division. And Lonnie received a bachelor's degree from Indiana University and a master's in business administration degree from University of Florida. He's a certified financial planner, professional, and he's going to give us some help. And I should mention, just to be transparent, Lonnie's also my nephew, married with two beautiful daughters. And Lonnie, thank you so much for joining us here, Lying on the Beach. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Steve and Lois.
Thank you.
And so I guess most of us who have any investments, we've seen our 401ks drop. I mean, a lot of people are thinking, should they get out? Shouldn't they get out of the market? Where's the bottom of this thing going to be? Occasionally, we've seen a couple of little percolates where it's gone up again. What are you telling your clients, and what are you hearing back from them? Give us a little insight.
Yeah. So, you know, take a quick step back. It's, you know, this event is something pretty much all of us have never seen. It is unprecedented. With that said, you know, I believe the same principles apply to this time period that is applied to other time periods when it comes to investing and, you know, sticking with your overall financial plans. You know, these things, they manifest themselves in different ways at different times. When you have, you know, major market corrections, and the one we just had was down 30% in 30 days on the major U.S. indices, and everything was kind of correlated together in, you know, stock around the world. And, you know, in a diversified portfolio, there should have been some protection, but it still was frightening for a lot of people to see large sums of money. In a lot of cases, you know, big portions of people's overall net worth, you know, moving around at such, you know, rapid speeds. So really, you know, what I try to do ahead of time and what I'm hearing from clients is, you know, I would say at the very beginning when this started to become a real reality for us in the United States and the markets were moving around a lot, was, you know, I would get the question a lot, hey, you know, can I get out and then get back in, and the whole market timing thing. I would hear that from a good number of people, and really that's really an impossible thing to do. And what I really have tried to do is keep people focused on what their plan was going into this. You know, it's kind of like a goal-based, you know, we're not investing for people in a vacuum. Like, hey, I want this rate of return. It's what do you need and what are your resources right now and where are you trying to go? That hasn't changed. And I've always tried to set people up for, I can't predict the coronavirus, but events that will cause volatility, and I want people to be able to sleep at night in their portfolios during events like this, because I know that the worst thing is to try to make massive moves in the middle of this. You know, we're kind of in the middle of a hailstorm. It's hard to be doing that right now, because I know that will hurt returns for the long term.
So Lonnie, there's a lot of people that are going to listen to this podcast that have a lot of money invested, and I don't think they really understand what that word correction means, because I've spoken to a lot of people and I've heard a lot of different interpretations. Can you just explain that to our audience?
So the word correction typically means, if you're looking at the major indices, down 10%. Then you start getting into bear market correction, which is down 20% or more. And, you know, correction is, yeah, like in the short term, there, Benjamin Graham, who was you know, Warren Buffett's mentor at Columbia years ago, he said in the short term, markets are voting machines, and in the long term, they are weighing machines. So in the short term, everyone, and this is a very complicated situation right now, and nobody has an answer. Nobody knows. Anyone who thinks that they know, they don't know. So right now, we're getting a correction where it's just kind of moving around up and down. Really, a correction is when things are overvalued to a degree, and you then start to get repricing back down to where things should be priced, stocks. But then you also get the exacerbation of, you know, emotions in the short term right now. So, and look, and uncertainty. Usually corrections come with uncertainty as well. So, you know, you have to mix correction as short term versus long term.
So how do people view a correction? How should they view it?
I think they should view it as a shorter term event. And you know, the time period can be it can be different, but typically a correction is a 1 year sort of thing, 12 to 18 months at most. It could be shorter than that. It depends. In 2008, essentially the correction was, you know, we were back within 2 years. This is different. Nobody knows. But I think generally speaking, and look, a correction is also, it's one of those things where there are probably some assets that needed to be repriced at this point. So I think people should view it as more of a, hopefully a shorter term thing, you know, being optimistic and positive, but not being kind of Pollyannish that, you know, this is going to resolve itself quickly.
So I had several of my friends take everything out of the market. I had reduced what I had in the market, as you know, like earlier before all this, but I still have stuff in there. And then, of course, I called you up with a kind of a panic call, like, should I take everything out or shouldn't I take everything out?
Right.
And as I said, some of my friends did that. They literally pulled themselves out of the market. The market had dropped at that point, maybe 15%, or I don't know where we were at that point, and they just didn't want any more losses. They count on that income. So they just pulled it all out and turned it into cash. And then the market continued to fall. You advised me not to, and I think it was a good choice. It's sort of like, you know, when you go sailing, if you're in the middle of a storm, that's no time to, you know, start figuring out correcting your course. It's like you just got to hunker down and get through the storm. Is
right.
That still your advice? Looking back, do you think people, they made, those folks maybe made a mistake or didn't make a mistake? What would you say about that?
Look, if their idea is to get back in at some point in time, it's very, very hard to do. To, you know, really the second decision is the hardest decision, to get back in, because it's not just when do I get back, how much do I get back in? And by the time most people feel, and it, this is just human nature, by the time you start feeling better, it's already considerably further back than what you can picture in your head is, oh, hey, it's still down and now I'm going to invest. The market's forward looking and it's moving very quickly. So it's already probably going to be well ahead of where you sold out.
So when you drop off that elevator that's dropping down, you hop off on the, you know, from the 10th floor, you drop off at the 7th floor, and
yeah,
the thing keeps going down. When the elevator goes back up, you can't get. It's rare that you can get back in on the 7th floor. Unfortunately, you're going to have to walk up a bunch of stairs to get onto the elevator again. Is that
right,
kind
well,
of the analogy?
I think the other thing, too, is as you, let's say you're on the 10th floor, you drop down to the 6th floor, right? And then it goes down to the 4th floor. But at the 6th, 7th floor, you jump off. You're usually jumping off with everything, right? You're
right.
Not just going to say, okay, I'm going to jump off with a little bit, whatever. It's a little bit of a panic move. You jump off. By the time you even get back to that 7th floor and above, that's when you're going to start feeling better. But then are you going to put all of it back in? You're probably just going to go back in pieces. And what happens is, over, you know, in 2 years from now, you'll look back and say, that was one of the points where I missed out. Because it's human nature. You're going to go all out and then you're going to come back in little waves, but you've already missed exactly what, you know, a big piece of what you already went out on. So it's a very, very tough, but I get it. Like at the time it's dropping, you're nervous. You don't want to see it drop, but it's a very hard thing to do. And really it goes back to what I was saying before. People should have plans exactly what they can envision this can drop during a period like this, right? So this market drop is not so different from a lot in the past. You know, we've had at least 10 that have been as severe as this to this point. I mean, it can continue. You know, we're nowhere near out of the woods, but you should kind of stress test it beforehand on what you think the worst case scenario could be, and can you stay in that allocation? And you know, if you jumped out, will you still be okay in the long term if you never got back in?
So Lonnie, a lot of people with money, you know, they all of a sudden become day traders. You know, they buy something because they hear, you know, over, you know, a cocktail conversation that something's a good stock. They buy it. It goes up a little, and then, you know, they see something happens in the world, or the stock went down a point or two, and they jump out. I get crazy when I have conversations with people like that, because I just feel like, you know, that I don't understand anything, and then they don't understand it much worse than me. But, you know, they're happy to be out when it goes down. I never really talk to them when it's going back up again, because I don't like to, you know, kind of like find out like how disappointed they are. But what can you tell people? You know, you already told them, but I just wanted to bring up that subject because people that are going to listen to this conversation, you know, are putting in and taking out every day, and they're not money managers. So I worry about them. I don't really worry about them. I want your expert advice.
Yeah. So it's a very, very hard game to play. It's, you know, the short-term speculative trading is what it sounds like. It's essentially gambling in the short term. You're running off of news. You're running off of how you feel. It's kind of, unless you're a real professional and you have the tools and the ability, it's a really hard game. Because the other thing too is you're playing with, you know, you're buying into a stock, you're selling out, you're buying in, you're selling out. But your overall amount of money, typically people don't know what their rate of return on all their money is when they're doing that. They know, they just remember the things that did well, but they kind of forget the things that didn't do well.
Right.
So at the end of the game, it becomes almost like a zero-sum game where you typically become negative. I mean, look, I have clients who I manage a good amount of money for them in a disciplined portfolio, but I can still see some of the accounts that, let's say, what we call their Vegas accounts, where they have, you know, much smaller amounts of money. And look, they want to do it for fun and they're okay losing that amount of money, but it's just for fun. It's not going to impact their situation. Typically, when I look at those portfolios, those accounts, they have significantly underperformed just a disciplined approach. And these are typically people who I think are very smart, who are in finance. It's just a game that's just really hard to play, especially right now, because you can get, you know, the word whipsawed is a word that comes to mind. With the moves that are happening right now, you can have moves down and up in a day that are massive right now. The volatility is incredibly swift. You have to be very careful.
What is your advice then to these people?
My advice is, if you want to do that, take a very small amount of money, take it out of the account that's actually important to you, and track it and just isolate it so you don't use more than what's in there. Just if you just want to have fun. But I wouldn't be using that as a means to like advance yourself from a net worth, you know, overall financial situation.
That must frustrate you as a money manager when people, your clients, do that.
It does. It does when they're doing it or they attempt to do it with real money that's impactful to their whole situation. If it's, sometimes I'll encourage it to a small degree if it gets that urge out for them and I know it's not going to hurt them in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Lonnie, I know you don't have a crystal ball and none of us do, but do you see this downturn in the market lasting until there's a cure or a treatment, which is like 18 months or more away? Or do you think it's something that we will, once places start opening up a little bit, the market will go back to normal? What's the word in your office as far as where they think this is going, and how long will it take before we're back up to where we are in December 2019, if ever?
Right. So, you know, as part of Mariner, we have you know, a great investment team, and we have a chief economist, and they've been putting out a lot of podcasts as well, and, you know, kind of written, I wouldn't call them predictions, but just general thoughts. I think the thought is, look, in over the next, I think for this year, or at least for the next two quarters, you know, there's going to be a lot of moving information. A lot of it's, you know, the second quarter, which we're in right now, you almost have to discount what's happening out there in terms of earnings and all that stuff, because it's all tied to the virus. The question that people are going to start asking, and we're asking, and, you know, kind of, we're not making predictions, but we're looking out and thinking reasonably, is, you know, as you start to get back into the workforce and economic activity starts back up, you know, then you can start to get a feel for how it's going. But look, the things we don't know is, look, who knows if the virus comes back and to what degree and how that could impact. But I think generally most reasonable investors, and myself and I think the firm, are looking at this kind of as a U-shaped recovery, not a V-shaped recovery. A V-shape is, you know, we just went straight down, and then we're just going to start coming right back up from an economic standpoint. I think there's going to be a lot that's going to happen in terms of, there's probably still going to be some social distancing for a long time until we have a vaccine. But there's going to be things, I think there's going to be innovative things that are done to kind of open up different parts of the economy at different points in time from, you know, hopefully from smart people. And, you know, that, I think it's U-shaped. I think that's kind of the opinion. So in the next and, 6 months or so, you're going to feel like, you know, some volatility and a lot of uncertainty. But I think over hopefully in 2021, we start to feel better about where we're going. But this is all tied to the medical side of it, which is, you know, very hard to predict.
Bonnie, what about the unemployment? You know, the high percentage that, you know, we haven't seen in decades. Does that have an impact on the stock market?
For sure. No question about it. It definitely does. You know, you're seeing 4 to 5 million unemployment applications every week at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And that certainly plays, and, you know, people are definitely hurting. It depends on how long this goes. I mean, that really is the question is, you know, you would hope that, you know, as businesses start to kind of come back to a degree, and then they're going to come in phases, these people get hired back. But what I think might happen is that it will be a way for employers to bring back the essential ones that they need. Then the next wave. So I think the unemployment, I think we will have a recovery, I hope, quicker than we have in, let's call it 2008 and some other serious time periods. But I think the unemployment is certainly an issue. And, you know, the markets definitely look at that and they react to that.
And Lonnie, what about the deficit? I mean, back in the Obama years, people were freaked out with the deficit going past a trillion. Now we're stimulus packages that are 2-3 trillion.
Right.
So we're going to be in the hole like three times what we ever were in the past. Isn't that going to have digging out of that will take generations. Is that going to have a huge impact on all this? Or is it something we just kind of put in the back shelf and just move forward? I mean, I'm not sure. I have trouble wrapping my head around it.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to it's definitely an issue, no question about it. I mean, we've essentially tripled that number in a month, which it took, you know, decades to get to that point before that. So it's definitely an issue. Typically, you know, it doesn't have like short-term impacts on the market. What I get concerned about is like over time, how will that manifest itself at a certain point in time where, who knows? I mean, the debt holders, you know, hold that over our head to a degree, and we're, you know, we're in trouble. One of the, this isn't really a silver lining, but one of the silver linings at this moment is that interest rates are, and treasury prices have come down so much, treasury yields, that servicing that debt now is less than it was before. So if they issue new bonds, the federal government, then you're going to have, you're going to be paying less interest in the short term, but that can move very quickly back up at any point in time. So I think the market is thinking themselves, okay, well, the interest rates are low right now. We have other issues to think about. But yeah, I think it's no question it's an issue. And it may come home to hit us at some point in time in the future when a certain event triggers it.
And Lonnie, it's hard to get a handle on this whole thing. But speaking of handle, look at that smooth transition. The handle stick is the must-have phone accessory that adds stylish jewelry and usability to your smartphone. Handle Stick, which is our sponsor for these podcasts, attaches directly to the back of your existing smartphone case or directly to the phone itself. So you don't have to switch cases. You can use the one you have, or you put it right on the phone directly. It uses a brace system that effortlessly lets you grip your phone. So whether you're speaking, texting, or taking selfies, it feels like the phone is floating in your hand. Handle allows you for a complete one-handed use of your phone, so you've got your hand for other hand available for multitasking. And the Handle Stick is also a kickstand that lets you set up the phone in both landscape and portrait modes, which is so important these days with all these Zoom calls and Skype meetings. And yes, you can wirelessly charge through the Handle Stick. It comes in more than 40 styles, including animal prints, lots of colors, fun glitter, sophisticated carbon fiber patterns, and the Handle Stick starts at, get this, just $10. So even with this financial crisis, you can still afford a Handle Stick. You can check it out at handlenewyork.com. That's H-A-N-D-L, New York, N-E-W-Y-O-R-K.com, handlenewyork.com. And of course, we always want to thank Handle Stick for being our sponsor for these podcasts. Lonnie, I think you've given us some great information, and I think the best thing to get out of talking to Lonnie is that he's upbeat and encouraging, that it's not the end of the world, people shouldn't be jumping out of their windows, that life will go on, and our investments will eventually come back. Is that the real takeaway?
That is what I believe. I do believe that deep down.
Lonnie, do most money managers believe that, or is there a great debate going on within your office?
There is, yeah, everyone definitely has different opinions, but the general, you know, we all generally subscribe to the same, and we've seen it over the years, and, you know, we look back on past data, all types of things, this is a little different. You know, they all come in different ways, but I think we all subscribe to the same investment philosophy, and then also as it specifically relates to the coronavirus, I think we all, you know, nobody knows, but we do feel optimistic that the future will be considerably brighter.
Lonnie, is there a money manager that actually could say to people, take all your money out of the stock market? It's a very dangerous place.
There are some that do that. But typically, those tend to be the ones who have been calling for something massive for years and years and years. So it's almost like the black swan kind of event. They wait for the one-time event, and then they tend to be right. But they've been saying it for 10 years that something major is going to happen. So, yeah, you have some of those out there. I don't know whether it's marketing or true. Typically, most good investors are not going to tell you to pull your money out now.
It certainly is an interesting and challenging time for money managers, you know, because it's just, there's never been a time like this, you know. So, you know, will there, you know, the unknown and when will it end is very challenging.
Correct. Yeah, it's definitely difficult. It's also rewarding too. You know, I feel like in times like these, like this is when clearly the investments are important, and what we choose and how we vet them and kind of the whole technical fundamental analysis, but a lot of what I do, people in my position do, is manage human behavior and really try to get people to see the big picture for the long term and set people up so that, you know, they're ready for this. So I find it a little rewarding right now to be able to try to help people get through this.
I love the way you said human behavior. So you're a psychiatrist.
I think so, absolutely.
To a degree, yeah. I mean, I really do try to, you know, anytime I start working with anyone from the beginning, I really am trying to understand their past history, how they've reacted to certain events, what they're really trying to accomplish. You know, look, you really don't know until you go through events like this. However, and I will learn so much from this event, from each specific client and how they kind of reacted to different things too. And that will shape how I adjust things. But one of the big things is I'm really not trying to do this in the middle of, you know, make major, major changes in the middle of a storm, essentially.
You know, but I go ahead, Steve.
I was going to say that one bit of advice that Lonnie gave me when he was talking me off the ledge, and by the way, he was really good at it, gave me, you know, let me make my own decision, but at the same time kind of gave me the facts on both sides. But one thing he said you could use this opportunity for is to improve the quality of your investments. For example, if you had OK Oil, you know, a so-so oil company, this might be a good time to switch over to take Exxon or some other, that's maybe a bad example. But basically taking your investments and using this opportunity to improve the quality of those investments. And do you still stand by that, Lonnie?
I absolutely do. So it did give an opportunity to see, you know, look, there's still information changes as well. So I'm not saying don't do anything, but there are times to, I like to use the word rebalance at different points in time, and not major rebalances, but you look through and say, look, at this point in time with the new information that we have, we may not, this may not be the best investment anymore. However, I still want you to be invested in something that I think will do well from this point forward. Like, what do I want to own now versus what have I owned? And then also the other things you can do to a degree is you kind of shift out of one thing into another, and you can take some tax losses and things as well to offset against future gains. So there is some strategic things that I can do that I think will benefit over the long term that we as a group have done. We've actually done a couple trades where, you know, we are looking at, you know, taxed harvesting for clients, but keeping them invested in good quality things that we think will do better going forward than what they were in before.
So that's an interesting point that you just mentioned, because I know from my own personal experience having Elliot manage everything, and I don't know anything about it. He doesn't usually tell me much, but he would listen to some of those tax advice tips, I think. But also, I think unless there was a particular company that really wasn't doing well, and you know, we just thought that they were just going to go down no matter whether it was a virus or not a virus, I don't think he would take money out of anything.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I think the idea of shifting and increasing the quality makes a lot of sense for right now. So while things are actually low.
Yeah, but you would. I would argue that you should have done that during, you know, way before the virus. Not like, oh, now there's a virus, so you know you're no good. I don't know.
Think the thinking is, let's say you could only afford. I'm using my bad example. OK Oil, whatever the heck that is, and you couldn't afford to buy Exxon. Well, now Exxon is really low, and so is your OK Oil. So maybe just swap over and get rid of your OK Oil, and now's a good time to jump onto Exxon while it's affordable. So right now there are sales basically going on. You know, the things have dropped down low in price, so you might want to look at your investments and say, you know what, I can make them a better quality group of companies by switching this to this and this to this. I'm not saying everything. I'm just saying if there are a few, and that's really a point that Lonnie was making, and it's not really my point, it's Lonnie's point. That's something you can consider doing. It's not for everybody. It may not be for Elliot, but it might be something for other people. So,
right. I mean, look,
correct?
Look, no one has a crystal ball, and you know, people make decisions on what they think is good quality versus not so good quality at different points in time. And frankly, like nobody knows for sure. Obviously, going into any kind of downturn or any issue, you want to, you know, you would have liked to have made certain calls that, not even calls, I hate to say that because that sounds like time, but you want to be able to make certain allocation shifts, whether or not you take a little bit from that area, you take a lot, whatever, and move it to different areas. You want to do it before, but the information is always moving every day. And obviously, things have changed dramatically in light of this virus and how different things work off of each other. So, you know, you're always looking. I mean, I think the main point is, I think it's always a dangerous thing to make massive shifts, almost at any point in time, especially right now. It's almost like working around the fringes to kind of, you know, find areas that you might be able to, you know, just slightly rebalance. Because technically, you're supposed to rebalance at different points in time. You know, there's no one way to do it. I don't think that that shows empirical evidence that it's, you know, this is the method to do it. But you should be rebalancing at different points in time. If, let's say, you have too much in stock, you know, you have a certain amount of stock because it ran up at a certain point while everything was good. You should trim off probably different pieces of stock in different areas that you think may be a little overvalued and move it to other areas that may be undervalued. This is the same thing. We just had a massive downturn. So you probably have a lot of what's called safer assets that didn't go down nearly as much. But then you have also some stock that went down. Some went down more than others. So you can still do some slight rebalancing. Definitely not timing. Timing is something I never like to say or think in those terms, but it's always rebalancing to a degree, but you don't want to do it too much.
Great. Okay. Well, I think that's been some terrific advice. Lois, do you agree?
I think he was just fabulous. I really appreciate, I hope we get great audiences because you were just really so intelligent and so easy to talk to, and also, you know, probably some of the greatest advice people can really get during this time. So we're going to really get out there and distribute this, you know, far and wide.
And Lonnie, people should know you're at Mariner Wealth if they want to actually find you, correct?
Correct. Mariner Wealth Advisors. I work out of the Coral Gables office. I appreciate you both having me on. If this can help, whoever this can help, I'm happy.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. And again, thank you, Lonnie, for joining us. Folks, you can find him at Mariner Wealth Advisors. And Lois, I think this is a wrap, correct?
This is a wonderful wrap.
Okay. So once again, I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman Hess.
And we have been Lying on the Beach. So long, everybody.